Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Thanks, honey. I appreciate it. She's my wife. She had no option but to do that. Well, if you haven't signed up for the New Year in the Light yet, I'll give the favor back. Go ahead and sign up. I encourage you to think about it. 25 years ago, I sat down in a seminary class and I took a class on homiletics. And the name sounded extremely funny to me. But all homiletics is the arts and the science of preaching. The opening phrase of my teacher was, "You get 35 minutes to determine the eternity of your audience." He got my attention for the rest of the semester. I take preaching extremely serious because when you preach the word of God, you have an opportunity. It might not be 100% of your audience, but one person might be there needing that word that night that will change him for eternity. That's the importance and the value of Christian education. And if you feel that God has a calling on your life, I want to encourage you to pursue Christian education. I want to encourage you to pursue leadership and pastoral and ministry education because it will help you to broaden your spectrum when you get to the Word of God and how to share the Word of God. Well, as Pastor Bruce and my wife said, we are in a sermon series called A Summer of Acts. And I don't know if you caught that. It doesn't say a summer in Acts. It says a summer of Acts. Because we're not just studying the book of Acts. We actually are encouraging you to do some acts for God. Amen. The idea is not just to study the word of God, but to go and apply the word of God. And since the summer literally kicks off on June 21, so tonight I'm giving you the last chance to get ready and start this summer acting for God. We are seeing what God did in the book of Acts so you can go and apply that in your personal life. And since the book of Acts is such a huge book, it is impossible to study it in only a few weeks. So we're focusing on one word, and the word prevailed. Amen. And the word prevailed. And for the last few weeks, Pastor Mike was here, Pastor Bruce, my wife, Pastor Carol, preaching one Wednesday after another, talking about how the word of God prevailed in different circumstances. And we're going to continue talking about that tonight. But I want to start telling you, you know what, before I say that, I got with me some really important guests. Kyomin and Sonjo, could you stand up, please? These are my friends from South Korea. If you could give them a hand. They just arrived to Nashville. Thank you for being with us tonight. Kyomin and Sunny were part of our church planting team. You can sit down, guys. They were part of our church planting team in Miami. They became really close friends to us. Kyomin is a captain in the Korean army, and he was doing a master's degree in the University of Miami. And we just happened to bump into them in our apartment complex, and we started talking, and they said, "Well, we want to join your team," and we started working together. And before they fly back, they move back to South Korea after 2 years in the U.S., they decided to drive all the way from Miami to here just to say goodbye. So it really honored me to have them tonight. And that's the value of spiritual family and the value of discipleship. That when we enter in that relationship with one another as friends in Christ, that goes forever. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about the word prevails. You know, the odds against Christianity were not good. What were the odds that Chile will defeat the world champion today 2-0? That's talking about real football, that thing that we are playing, the World Cup. What y'all call soccer, I don't know why you call it that, but what were the odds that a new team, relatively, would beat the world champion today? Not good odds. The odds against Christianity were not good from the beginning, and they're not good today. Nevertheless, the word prevails. The odds against Christianity from day one were extremely difficult. Let me just give you a glimpse of how difficult it was for Christianity. The founder was born in a humble manger in a tiny little town oppressed by the Roman Empire. I mean oppressed by the Roman Empire. That same founder, 33 years later, was humiliated and crucified publicly. And to the eyes of the people, he was helpless and defenseless against the Roman Empire. That's the founder of Christianity. The followers were uneducated, cowards, and monocultural racists. All they wanted to do is save Israel. They could care less about the rest of the world. If you don't believe me, read the Bible. They didn't care about the rest of the world. They cared only about their own nations. When I say cowards, I mean when they were attacked for the cause of Christianity, they all ran away at first. Their desire was never to change the world. Instead, they wanted to restore the kingdom to Israel. When Jesus was rose again from the dead and they see the resurrected king, the question was, when are you going to give back the kingdom to Israel? They didn't ask him, when are you saving the world? They didn't ask him, when are you going to change our world? They asked, when are you going to give back the kingdom to Israel? The odds against Christianity were not good. It didn't look good from the beginning. 12 people, and one of them was a thief. Happened to be the treasurer, the guy that had the money, was a thief. I mean, talk about a defective team from day one. The odds were not good. Christianity was and still is the most attacked, harassed, persecuted faith in the entire world. Till today, Christians are being attacked all over the world. Every day, I hear of churches that are being burned down. With all due respect, I don't hear a lot about mosques being burned down. I don't hear a lot about Buddhist temple being burned down. But churches, every day. I come from an area of the world. This man here, Pastor Mahmoud, comes from an area of the world where Christians are tortured, are persecuted, are put in prison for the cause of the gospel. Sometimes here in America, we feel too bad. Oh, our government approved a couple of laws against Christianity. Oh, bummer. Hey, in other countries, they kill Christians for the cause of Christ. Christianity is a religion under attack in this world. The odds are against us, not in our favor, but somehow, we've managed to grow from 11 people, because one was a thief, to 2.2 billion people in 2,000 years. Because today there is 2.2 billion people on this planet that says Jesus Christ is Lord. Somehow, we managed to survive famine. We managed to survive natural disaster. We managed to survive persecution. We managed to survive accusation and continue to grow. You feel you're under attack today? In the time of the book of Acts, Christians were lion snacks. They were given as snacks to lions, literally. We survived and we continue to grow. You know why? Because God has a plan for Christianity and He has a plan for the church. And He who is in us is more powerful than He who is in the world. And the word prevailed. It is not us. It's not about our smartness or good looking. It is the word of God that prevails. What gives us power to continue and to grow is not us. It's not our education. It's not our attitude. It's the power of the word of God. There's one thing, and I say that with a lot of humility and sincerity. If there's one thing that kept me for 25 years walking with Jesus, is the word of God. Nothing else. Everything else have been up and down in my life. Sometimes I pray a lot. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I worship a lot. I never sang well. I sing terrible. I mean, Robert, God bless you. I don't know where he is. That brother can sing. If I sing, you'll go home straight away. Because I'm terrible at it. I mean, right, Kyungmin? I mean, I'm bad. But one thing have been a constant in my life for 25 years. The word of God. Every morning, I wake up, sit down in the same spot, open that Bible, and read it. Because I understand with all my heart that the word is the one that prevails. And if I continue hanging into the word, if I continue walking in the word, I'm going to prevail with the word. It's not me. It's the word of God that prevails. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. How could Christianity grow from a small group of kind of defeated people into a mega church of 2.2 billion people around the world? I believe that it all goes back to one chapter of the Bible and to one little congregation. It all goes back to Acts 13 and the church of Antioch. One tiny little church that transformed the world for Jesus. And here is, before we open the Bible, here is the one simple sentence that I want you to take home with you. Just one. Not a lot of sentences. Just one simple sentence. An apostolic church that practiced corporate worship will change the world. An apostolic church that practice corporate worship will change the world. There is no doubt about it. Antioch was a tiny little church. You know what? Before we go to 13, let me read to you Acts 11, how the church of Antioch was started. So chapter 11 and verse 19 says, "So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Pontphicia," whatever that name is, "and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone." Wait a minute, guys. Jesus said, go to all the nations and make disciple of every creature. Yeah, every creature that is Jew. We don't want to preach to anybody else. Guys, Jesus said, go and make disciple of all the nations. I've studied the word. I love languages. Speak a few of them. I studied the word all. The word all in every language mean all. So when Jesus said, go and make disciple of all the nations, he was not referring to all the Jews in the nations. He was referring to all the nations, every culture, every ethnia, every group on this world. But they went and kept going to only one small group. But look what happens. Something interesting happens. "But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord." Amazing, isn't it? When they decided to obey God, the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number turned to the faith. Amazing, when we obey God, something happened. It's like heaven opens. God says, okay, let me show you how much I value my word. You obeyed my commandment. Now I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to prosper you. They go to Antioch. It was not a famous city. It was not Ephesus. It was not Corinth. It was not Rome. They go to Antioch, but they decide, we're going to obey the commandment of the Lord. We're going to go to every culture that is around us. Let's remember the simple little phrase that I mentioned at the beginning. An apostolic church that practices corporate worship will change the world. What is an apostolic church? Surely the church of Antioch was an apostolic church. What does that mean to be an apostolic church? From this scripture, I understand that an apostolic church is a church that reaches every culture around it. Not just one culture, not just one group. You know, diversity is a core value of Bethel. As a church, we dearly and deeply value diversity. But we didn't come up with diversity. Jesus came up with diversity. He was the one that said, go and reach every culture. There are 6,432 ethnias or cultures in the world. There is roughly a couple of hundred nations or countries, but more than 6,000 cultures. And when Jesus used the term of who to reach, he didn't use political countries. He used cultures, which means people groups. Let's go to every people group and reach them. Till Acts 11, the church was decided to reach the Jews. And when Peter had the revelation, Pastor Mike, I think, preached about that a couple of weeks ago, and he had the revelation from heaven, and he goes to Cornelius' house. Everybody was mad at Peter, and Peter kept saying, but Jesus revealed that to me, and it was hard for them to accept the revelation of God. But that was about it. It's in chapter 11 when we see a new church, the church of Antioch, being planted by men that decide we're going to reach every culture around us. This church here, Bethel, has people from 57 nations. I'm not going to even do that, but if I ask, where are you from? I am sure we got people from every continent in the world tonight. I mean, at least we got Iran, we got Bolivia, we got Mongolia, Korea, India, Egypt, America, anybody from the United States? We got people from everywhere. And this is a Wednesday night on a summer evening. This is an apostolic church because we are reaching people from different cultures. An apostolic church reaches people from different cultures around it. That's kind of a commercial, but let me say that. I encourage you, take some time and come and visit our Latino congregation once in a while and see how other people worship God. Got that brother here. He comes every time. I love you, man. He comes and worship with us, and I'm sure he's learning Spanish. That's great. You know, when you go and worship in another culture, there's an experience about that. We have a Burmese congregation here that meets on Sunday afternoon. Come and worship with them and see what does another culture do for Jesus. Because Jesus transcends culture. He is over culture. Amen. Apostolic Church reaches every culture around it. And in this great city, I mean, today, preparing for my message, I just took my car really early in the morning and I drove all around Nashville. I drove not just in the nice parts, I drove everywhere. And I saw people from all over the world. I saw restaurants from Sudan, from Somalia, from Egypt, from Ethiopia, from all over the world. Flags here and flags there. We have people from all over the world reaching the world. Stop being about getting on a plane and flying across the ocean. It's just crossing the street right now. It's all it is. It's just crossing the street. You're going to find my two neighbors aside me is a Chinese family. They don't speak any English, just Chinese. I'm praying and befriending them. I'll help them in any way I can. Can I cut your grass? Anyway, just to be their friend so I can preach the gospel to them. I'm probably never going to go to China. But if I can reach them, I'm fulfilling the Great Commission. The amens are going down. It's okay. We're going to pick them up. I know we will. An apostolic church reaches everybody, every culture around it. An apostolic church, the hand of the Lord is with it. The Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. In other words, whatever they did, God prospered. Whatever they did, God prospered. They started a project and God prospered it. The hand of the Lord was with that church and it kept growing, increasing, and reaching the community around it. And I believe that God wants us to continue to be an apostolic church. And the hand of the Lord is with us. We can get an amen for that one at least. The hand of the Lord is with us as we go to our community, as we go to Nashville, as we go to our Middle Tennessee area. The hand of the Lord is with us. An apostolic church sees large number of believers turning to the Lord. And man, Antioch saw a large number. Like many, many people come to the Lord. Here at Bethel, we're seeing large number of believers. We're not building that new building because we've got nothing else to do. It's hard work to build a new building. The reason we're building it is we maxed this one out. That's why we maxed it out, because we see large number of believers coming to Bethel. Why? Because the hand of the Lord is with us. And why? Because we are reaching all cultures. Amen. Not just one group. Not just one group. I mean, I went earlier to a section of town, and the only mocha I saw in that section was Starbucks. I was like, man, I'm going to move here. I'm selling my house, and I'm going to move in this area. I'm going to bring some mocha here. I value diversity so much. It is important. It's in the Bible. It's the Word of God. Let's reach every culture that is around us. An apostolic church also has covering. The Bible says in verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. When the church in Jerusalem heard about it, they sent them an apostle. Then, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. An apostolic church has apostolic covering. In other words, the word is just a name. If you don't have apostolic covering, you're not an apostolic church. Barnabas was sent from Jerusalem as a covering to the church of Antioch. He was sent from the apostles to go and cover, help that church to continue to do its mission. And God has blessed us with Bishop Rice and leaders that are covering this church so we can continue doing the work that God has called us to do in this city. Come on, y'all. You can say amen. Let's practice it. Amen. You can say it with us. An apostolic church have multiple ministry gifts and offices. Now we can go to Acts 13:1. Here's what it says in Acts 13:1. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. An apostolic church has a diversity of giftings, not just diversity of cultures. An apostolic church has apostles, has prophets, has teachers, has preachers, has pastors, has men and women, evangelists, men and women that has the calling of healing and the calling of praying for the sick. I mean, there are so many gifts in the Bible. FYI, there is over 21 gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And I'm 100% sure that you got at least one of them. Because there's no calling to heat seats. It does not exist. I mean, I've read the Bible many times. There's no calling to heat church seats. You got a calling. You got a gift. God is not going to give you a calling without a gift. Because God is not mean. If God sends me to dig a hole, he's going to give me a shovel. Right? He ain't sending me to dig that hole without a shovel. I'm not going to ever do it. Especially here in Tennessee where there's rocks everywhere. I mean, I tried to build a tiny little fence and it took me 2 days. So many rocks. But the shovel helped. God is not going to send you to do his work without giving you a gift. So you got a gift. Which one? Try everyone till one works. That's the one you got. I tried singing and I was terrible at it. Okay, that's not the one. I tried being a Sunday school teacher for kids. Man, they hated me. Okay, that's one. That's not it. I mean, I did everything you can imagine at church. And one day, I got invited to preach. And it worked. Okay, that's the one. I'm sticking with that one. What is your calling? Just try. Keep serving. God is going to show you. An apostolic church has multiple ministry gifts and offices. It does not depend. It's not a one-man show. It never have been and never will be a one-man show. It's a team. It's a group of people. It's a church of the living God. An apostolic church that practices corporate worship. Let's get to the second part of the phrase. Apostolic church, we explained that. What is corporate worship? Here's what it says in verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them. It's a church that practices corporate worship. It is more than okay to pray on your own. It is absolutely needed for you to spend time with God, read the Bible, worship Jesus. Turn on your Christian radio or CD and in the car and worship the Lord. That's perfect. But nothing will ever replace corporate worship. Nothing will ever replace corporate worship. I never believed and never will believe that building is a church. The church is us. But the fact is, there are people that take it to the other extreme and say, well, since we are the church, we don't need to go. No, that's not true. You need to gather. I don't care where you gather. If you gather under a tree, you're the church, but gather somewhere. Gather somewhere. And if you're going to gather somewhere in this heat, it better be inside a building. It's hot outside. You might as well get some AC. We need it. Thank you, Jesus, for AC. The Bible speaks about corporate worship. These guys were fasting and worshiping and praying together. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them. People say, well, God never talked to me. Come to church. He'll talk to you. Amen. Come to worship with us. When we have our consecrate time, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the first one of the month, come. God will talk to you. And he's not necessarily going to use a prophet or an apostle. He might just talk to your heart right where you're sitting. Well, why can't he talk to me at home? Ask him. I don't know why, but that's how he operates. I stopped arguing with God. I just say, yes, sir, what do you want me to do? I never won one. I tried many times to argue with him. Never won. So I give up. I just say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? Let's do it. Corporate worship is so important in the house of God. It is so important because we edify each other. What is corporate worship? Praying together. Fasting together. You know what? I cannot fast by myself for nothing. I mean, let me confess that I don't like to fast. It's obvious. Don't like it. It's not my thing. I mean, I don't do any of it with all due respect, all those diets. I just don't do it. I can't. It's not my thing. I will fast for Jesus, but I've got to fast with accountability partners. I've got to fast with people that will call me and say, are you fasting? Because at least out of embarrassment, I won't eat. So I don't lie because I can't lie. A Christian is not going to do that. A pastor surely shouldn't lie, right? So at least not to lie, I'm going to abstain from all evil or all food. Can't do it by myself. I need the church. I need the body of Christ. I need to encourage each other to stand together. There is something about fasting together that honors God. There is something about praying together that honors God. And God descends to bless us. When God looks from heaven and says, man, they're together. They got one spirit. They got one voice. They're asking for one thing. Let me answer them. Let me do what they're asking. Let me respond to them. So we take that verse that says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, to the extreme and say, all we need is just two or three. That's not what the verse is saying. It is saying minimum two or three, but the more the merrier. The more the merrier. More people you can gather together to worship God, there's powerhouse in corporate worship. I don't think I need to teach Bethel about corporate worship. This church is famous around town for corporate worship. Y'all known around the world for corporate worship. But let's just remember that the Church of Antioch was a church of corporate worship, and they changed the world. You might say, how did Antioch change the world? Are you a Christian today? Amen? Amen. It's because of the Church of Antioch. Unless you were born and raised in Israel, you would have never heard about the gospel of Jesus if it wasn't for the Church of Antioch. Because it's in the Church of Antioch that the Gentiles, the non-Jewish, were reached for the first time. It's in the Church of Antioch that is for the first time an apostolic team was laid hand on and sent to reach the Gentiles. We are product of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, John Mark, Luke, and all these guys. Where did they come from? Antioch. What kind of church was Antioch? A church that practiced corporate worship. When we pray together, when we worship together, when we fast together, get ready because God's going to send you somewhere. I mean, it's not a joke when we say get a passport and some luggage. God told me that years ago and I took it seriously and I never stopped. I mean, I never stopped because he wants to reach the world. He's just looking for people that are willing to go. And he usually finds that in churches with corporate worship. When we worship together, we pray together, the Lord comes and says, okay, let's do something. Get these guys here and let's send them to the work that I got separated, prepared for them. An apostolic church that practices corporate worship will change the world. And Antioch surely changed the world because in only three missionary trips, the Apostle Paul planted more churches than we will all ever do. Just one man was one team. He went and planted churches all over the known world, transformed his world for Christ. He planted a church in the house of Caesar, what probably would be an equivalent of the White House today. He planted a church right there in the house of Caesar. He sent them a letter and say, greet the people in the house of Caesar that love Jesus and follow him, my disciples. He planted a church there, changed the world out of one church that practiced corporate worship. Are the odds against Christianity today? Yes, they are. Laws are against us. The world is against us. The media is against us for sure, with all due respect. It's just reality. Everybody's against us. They want to kill us. They don't like us. We're hated. We're the bigots. We are everything that is to be blamed in the world is Christians. What's new? It was like that in the time of Paul, and he still planted churches all over the world. We can still do it. We can rise up. We're 2.2 billion people, still the largest religion in the world. We still have the Holy Spirit. We still have the Bible. These guys didn't even have the Bible, and they changed the world. All they had was a chapter of one little book. They didn't have the entire Bible. You got it on your iPhone today. You got it in your phone. Every word revealed by God, it's in your hand. Do you imagine the power that we have today by the grace of God? Amen. An apostolic church that practices corporate worship will change the world. How did Antioch change their world? They sent their best to missions. And man, when we send out of Bethel, we always send our best. Because when Antioch sent to mission, they sent Paul and Barnabas. That was the senior pastor and the co-pastor of the church. That was the best they had. They didn't give away to missions the leftover. They didn't give away to missions. Okay, this dude never made it preaching. Let's send him to be a missionary. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. Because you know what? Wherever you go as a missionary, there are different demons than the place where you are. And usually those other demons, they don't know you, so they're going to fight you more. I mean, I've been in 25 countries of this world. Every country have different kind of demons. They're crazy. It's ridiculous. I'm not trying to be weird here. It's just the opposition in every country and every city is completely different. So when we send to missions, we send our best. Here at Bethel, we equip you at Bethel Equip. We help you at the New NLI. We train you. We pray for you. And when you're ready to be sent out of this house, you're the best that we have to be sent. That's how you change the world, sending the best. Amen. Sending the best. And that's what the Church of Antioch did. They sent their best. Even a failure like John Mark transformed the nation. Because John Mark, I mean, if you read the chapter 13, the entire chapter, you'll see that John Mark goes with Paul and Barnabas, and midway, he chickens and goes back. He's like, nah, it's too hard, man. Nobody told me that I'm going to be killed. And no, I don't like that. I'm going back. Mama's going to cook me some good old home cooking meal, and everything's going to be all right. And Paul gets mad at him. But what most of us don't know is that same John Mark that goes back, that is a failure on his first mission trip, one day, quickened by the Holy Spirit, started walking out of Jerusalem. And he walked, and he walked, and he walked, and he arrived to Alexandria, Egypt, in a time where Alexandria was completely pagan. And when he arrives to Alexandria, his sandals were completely destroyed. So he finds a shoe repair guy, and he gets into the shop. And while the guy is working on his sandals, he preaches the gospel to him. He talks about Jesus, the Jesus that he heard Paul talking about in the first missionary trip. And the guy gets so caught up in Mark's message that he forgets he has a big needle in his hand. And the needle trespasses his other hand, and he screams of pain. And John Mark takes the needle out of his hand and prays for him, and he gets instantly healed. He gets on his knee and receives Jesus as Lord and Savior. Brings his family that night, and the entire family received Jesus. He becomes the first church planter in Egypt. In less than 100 years, every citizen of the entire nation of Egypt becomes Christian because of the ministry of John Mark. I am here because John Mark went to Egypt. But he was a failure in the beginning. Have you started something from God and failed? Welcome to the club. You're in good company. Paul, John Mark, me. Welcome to the club. Don't give up. When you go on mission, there are going to be some failures. There are going to be some setbacks. There are going to be some false starts. That's not the end of the world. Keep going. God might use you to transform an entire nation like John Mark did. You know what? God might use you to transform an entire continent because he is doing that today. World missions. An apostolic church that practices corporate worship will change the world. Let me read to you the ending of chapter 13, and we're going to land this plane. Verse 48 says, when the Gentiles heard this, 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. You go to obey God. This is not a cool message. This is a reality message. When you go to obey God, there always will be acceptance and persecution. I wish it's different. I wish I can tell you, you're going to go and everything is going to be easy. I would be a liar. It's not true. There will always be people that accept the word with joy and people that reject it, that oppose to it. When we planted our church, these guys can remember, planted our church in Miami. There was a group of people excited and joyful. We were gathering in the tiny little clubhouse of our apartment. The board of the apartment building came to stop us. They said, you cannot do that. I was like, what do you mean? This is the clubhouse. I'm one of the renters here. This is my clubhouse, right? Like, yeah, but you can't talk about Jesus. But last night there were people smoking weed here. Like, yeah, they can smoke weed, but you can't talk about Jesus. I'm serious. They told me that. You know what? God gave us grace, and I stood in front of the board and pled the case for Jesus. And I told them, if you shut the door to us, God is going to give us another place. But who are you going to run from the living God? And they backed off and let us continue worshiping Jesus. Amen. There'll always be opposition, though. There will always be opposition. There will always be people that reject you, that don't accept the message. Don't back off. Just keep pressing on. Just keep preaching. Just keep going. God will change the world. Because an apostolic church that practices corporate worship will change the world. And Antioch changed their world. It's time for Bethel to change our world for Jesus. Amen. It's our time to change our world. Those who were before us did their job. It is our time. This is our moment. God has put it in our hand. It is in our hand. The baton has been handed to us. Let's run the race and change the world. We can do it. The word prevailed in the whole region. That's what the Bible that we read just said. The word prevailed in the whole region. And the last verse says, verse 52, and the disciple were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we obey God and go on a mission and go on a summer of Acts, not only we will be filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be filled with joy as well. Yeah. I can sincerely testify tonight, there is no greater joy than seeing one person turn from darkness to light. There is no greater joy than seeing one person that couldn't believe in God receive the message and receive Jesus and his life being transformed. No greater joy than that. And that joy is right in front of you. If you take the challenge that I'm handing you tonight and you cross your street or your neighborhood and find somebody to share the good news of the gospel with them. And I'm not asking you to harass anybody, go and stop people. Do you know you're going to hell? That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Just don't do that. I had people do that at Walmart. I stopped going to Walmart. No, I'm not going to hell. I'm a Christian. What's wrong with you? That's not the way. People need their life to be interrupted, but in a loving way, in a kind way. Jesus interrupted people's life in kindness, but he interrupted them. Because they are going to hell. And if you don't interrupt them, they're lost. I'm going to interrupt them, but I'm going to interrupt them with kindness. You'd ask me, how can I do it? Let me give you just a couple of fast thoughts. Have you thought about inviting your friends for dinner? Not just the Christian ones. Invite the ones that don't know Jesus to dinner. I've yet known a person that rejects a food invitation. I don't know them. I'm available to be invited anytime. I don't know. I've never met a person that says, no, I don't want to eat. How much is it going to cost you to cook dinner? $20, $30? If one soul crosses from darkness to eternal light over a $30 meal, is it worth it? Yes. Find a way to reach those that need the gospel with kindness. I think I shared that before. In Miami, we did it with cookies. My daughter baked cookies. That's how we met most of our neighbors. We went and knocked on their doors one by one and gave them cookies, free cookies. And I mean, in Miami, people are so suspicious, they would open a little bit the door and like, yes. Like, I'm your neighbor, I want to give you free cookies. And I have a tiny 7-year-old girl with me. And I have her had the cookies, so they don't, you know, be afraid of me. And they would look at the cookie, what's in the cookie? And I'm like, dough? Am I going to give you a bomb? I mean, I'm your neighbor. That night, I mean, I had maybe 10 or 12 people come knock on my door, bringing me thank you notes, telling me, We've been here for 7 years. Nobody gave us a glass of water. You're the first one that ever talked to us. Why? I was like, come into my house, please. Have you seen this kind, cool book called The Purple Book? And I will start a relationship, a friendship with them to teach them the word of God. You can find out. These are just simple examples from me. I'm sure God can give you amazing ideas to reach your own neighborhood, your own friends. An apostolic church that practice corporate worship, and we are an apostolic church, and we practice corporate worship, will change the world. So I don't need to convince you to be an apostolic church. I don't need to convince you to worship. You already do that. I need to tell you, let's go running and change our world for Christ. We can do it. And you might say, what about those people that I don't understand their language and it sounds all like jibber-jabber to me? I'm going to help you with that. My friends here have something in their hand. I'm going to ask them to go around and give you a card. You're going to receive it. Little business card like this. This is my business card. On one side is in English, the other side is in Arabic. So whenever you find somebody is speaking Arabic, just hand him my card. Don't tell them much. Just give them my card. Hey, this guy's my friend. Call him. You don't speak Arabic. You can't preach to them. I do. Maybe he wants to commit suicide and he looks at that card and says, let me give that guy a try before I kill myself. You never know, right? You are just doing missions by just handing this card to somebody from the Middle East, and they're all around Nashville, everywhere, at Publix and Kroger's and Walmart, everywhere. Just find somebody and say, hey, let me give you that card. It might help you. Don't say much. Another thing that you can do is that card. Would you pray for me? Would you? I'm serious. Would you pray for me? Because I am looking into reaching those cultures. My friend Pastor Mark here, we're reaching those cultures every day. We're in front of that line because we believe that Middle Eastern culture need Jesus. The Kurds, the Persian, the Arabs, they need Jesus. And we're blessed with their language. So we go to where they are. But they're not easy. So could you pray for me? Could you pray for Pastor Mark? Pastor Mark, come and stand here with me, please. Could you pray for us so when we go and talk to them about Jesus, they would listen to us? You got my card. Take a picture of it with your phone and pray for me. Give the card to somebody else. Pray for Pastor Mark. That's missions. That's missions. You're going out of your comfort zone and talking to somebody. You can talk to those who speak your language and those who don't. Send them to somebody that speaks their language. I mean, I was at the YMCA the other day and I met a guy that doesn't speak. I mean, he was perfectly Middle Eastern, but he didn't speak Arabic. I tried and he said, no Arabic. So what do you speak? He said, I speak Iranian. I said, oh, wait a minute. I dialed Pastor Mark's phone. I put him on the phone with him. Didn't I do that, sir? And he started talking to him. Why? I don't speak Iranian. I'm not going to learn now, but he does. I help him. Can we stand up and pray tonight? I give you a simple message application. That tiny little card, that's your message application. Pray for us as we go to the difficult cultures and invite somebody. Just give them the card. You never know what God can stir in their hearts. And the third application, and to me the most important, is find somebody in your neighbors, your friends, and share the gospel with them over a meal, over a coffee cup, whatever, but share the gospel with them. We can pray for you, and we're going to ask you to step with us in prayer to change our world for Christ. Father God, thank you tonight. Lord, I thank you for this man of God that is standing with me. And we as pastors here, we raise our hand and pray for this church. We pray for this congregation. God, for this apostolic church that have apostolic covering. Thank you for Bishop Rice. Thank you for the apostolic covering that he is for this church. Thank you for our senior pastor, Pastor James Lowe, and the grace of God on his life. Thank you for every pastor, every leader in this house, and the grace of God on their lives. God, we as a church pray for the saints that they may go and reach their culture for Jesus. Amen. God, I pray for every saint that is here tonight that they go and reach every Nashvillian that they can. On Broadway and in Antioch and in every corner of the city, may we go and share the gospel with passion and with strong belief that the message of Jesus will transform their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Remember that. An apostolic church that practices corporate worship will change the world. We are an apostolic church. We practice corporate worship. Let's change the world together. Amen? God bless you guys. I don't know what to do. Do I dismiss the service? Go home. God bless you.